Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. One of the things, and I admit there are many things, that I love about animal behavior is how the same behavior can have two completely different meanings. And the same is true for human behavior. But what meaning we attach to particular behavior in our animals and in others, more often than not, is a function more of our emotions than any objective analysis of what's going on. So because of this, there are a lot of frightened dogs running around who have been labeled dominant. Once that happens, of course, that changes the way everybody responds to them. And then we wind up in a great big self-fulfilling prophecy. Those situations always make me sad, because the natural response of some people, once they've put that dominant label on the dog, is to be more dominant. What they don't realize is that the dog's fearful response is eliciting a more fearful response from them. And then they get caught up in this vicious cycle in which the punishment gets more and more aggressive and fear-based, and the animal's response gets more and more aggressive and fear-based. And then what usually happens, we put a stop to it, and we apply that final label. He was incorrigible. I tried everything and it failed. He had a screw loose. There was something wrong with him. And in such a way, the self-fulfilling prophecy comes true. Another place where the same behavior can take on different meanings has to do with dogs who growl at other dogs. You would think that the person whose dog did the growling... Oh, my floor is squeaking. You would think that the person whose dog did the growling would tend to feel a little bit more uneasy than the person whose dog was growled at, relative to the behavior of his or her dog. But that's not necessarily the case. There are some people who feel guilty, or are made to feel guilty, when other people's dogs aggress towards theirs. Let me give you an example of this. Several years ago, I got a call from a very, very nice man who had an intact dog that he walked around a large metropolitan area and would take to a dog park. And when his dog and he entered the dog park, several other dogs in the park would beat him up. The women who owned these dogs told him that it was his dog's fault. And the reason it was his dog's fault is because his dog still had his testicles, whereas their dogs were properly neutered. And all he had to do was have his dog castrated, and that would solve the problem. And he wanted to know what I thought about that. And I told him if he wanted to take his dog to that particular dog park, the price of admission was his dog's testicles. And once those testicles were gone, the women who owned the other dogs would relax. And then once they relaxed, they would stop inciting, subconsciously perhaps, maybe not so subconsciously, their dogs to go after his. So here we have a situation where someone tries to portray the victim as a villain in order to support their own beliefs. There are quite a few bond situations that come up when a lot of dogs are walked in the same area. This is a consequence of the trend in the last 10 years that all dogs should love to play with other dogs, and as much as possible, and that they should like them all. I'm not exactly sure where this came from, and I wish it would go back to wherever it did, but since it's here, it has created some problems. For example, there is this feeling that if one's own dog is well behaved, that guarantees that everybody else's dog will be well behaved. And that's just not true. So you can take your dog out hiking or to the local meadow or field where everybody else takes their dog, and your dog can have 100% recall and be very, very well behaved. And that is absolutely no guarantee that somebody else's dog or dogs isn't going to nail your dog. What's interesting to me is how many people never considered that possibility. They just assumed that their dog was the problem. So all they had to do was straighten out their dog and then everything would be perfect. But that's not how it works. And unfortunately, we're now in our exercise addiction phase. Exercise has become the universal antidote for everything. And so if your dog has separation anxiety, aggression, hates kids, hates men, hates umbrellas, all you need to do is get out there and exercise that dog. So we've got all these dogs with behavioral problems out there running willy-nilly, supposedly to solve their problems. So it's probably the last place you're going to want to take your well-behaved dog. Either because your well-behaved dog could become a target, or your well-behaved dog could pick up some bad habits from those other dogs out there. So it's something to think about. When you think that you know exactly what a behavior is communicating, and your response to that just doesn't work, or the behavior gets worse, just pretend, just for the heck of it, pretend that it means exactly the opposite. And see what happens. You might be surprised. I've been surprised so many times in my career that now I just automatically look at the full spectrum. I don't slap a label on. I just stop, look, listen, and think about it.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.